The gospel lesson is a familiar one. It is from John's gospel. It is the story of Easter. Early Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. She said, "They have taken the Lord's body out of the tomb, and I don't know where they have put him." Peter and the other disciple ran to the tomb to see. The other disciple outran Peter and got there first. He stooped and looked in and saw the linen cloth lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter arrived and went inside. He also noticed the linen wrappings lying there, while the cloth that had covered Jesus' head was folded up and lying to the side. Then the other disciple also went in, and he saw and believed. For until then, they hadn't realized that the scriptures said that he would rise from the dead. Then they went home. Mary was standing outside the tomb crying. And as she wept, she stooped and looked in. She saw two white-robed angels sitting at the head and the foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. "Why are you crying?" the angels asked her. "Because they have taken away my Lord," she replied, "and I don't know where they have put him." She glanced over her shoulder and saw someone standing behind her. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. "Why are you crying?" Jesus asked her. "Who are you looking for?" She thought he was the gardener. "Sir," she said, "if you have taken him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will go and get him." "Mary," Jesus said. She turned toward him and exclaimed, "Teacher, don't cling to me," Jesus said. "For I haven't yet ascended to the Father, but go find my brothers and tell them that I am ascending to my Father and your Father, my God and your God." Mary Magdalene found the disciples and told them, "I have seen the Lord." Then she gave them his message. May God add understanding to the reading of that word. Would you join me in the spirit of prayer? Our Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto your sight. And may those things said that are true be engraved upon every heart. And those things said that are false, may they be quickly forgotten and cause no harm. In your name we very humbly pray. Amen. I remember the day that my father did not show up for breakfast. It was the last Friday in February. The previous Monday, my mother had completed this part of life in the early morning hours. Her visitation was to be that night, and my father and I agreed to meet at his favorite restaurant, Denny's, on University Street, where a second cousin of mine worked. She had had a hard scrap of life and was beginning to put the pieces of her life back together, and my father liked to patronize the restaurant and to leave her a big tip whenever possible. I arrived a couple of minutes before the time that we were to meet, and Dad was running a little late. This was not uncommon because, you see, he had COPD, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. And so sometimes it was a little slow to get moving in the morning and wrestling his oxygen tank. About a quarter after we were supposed to meet, I decided to give him a call. I called the home phone first and there was no answer. So I called the two cell phones, the one that had belonged to my mother before she passed and his, and no answer. I ordered my breakfast, an omelet, and I thought that he would walk through the door any time, that he must be traveling and was not going to be answering the cell phone, or he didn't have his hearing aid in. But as I finished my breakfast, I realized that he was not going to be coming. So I called my wife, Sue, and I told her that I was going to go to their house because Dad did not show up for breakfast. She asked me if I wanted her to come with me, and I said, "No, I'm pretty sure what I'm going to find." So I pulled into their driveway, and I checked into the garage, and there was the car and the truck sitting in their places. I put the key in the lock on the back door, and I walked into the house, and I called his name a couple times, and there was no answer, just the hiss of the oxygen machine. I stepped into a hallway, and there he was, lying in the hallway. He had passed away earlier in the evening. I called Sue, and then I called 911, and I told them that there was no hurry. The sheriff arrived next, followed by Sue and my brother-in-law, and then my parents' ministers from their church, and then the funeral director. And then the next day, we had a double visitation and a double funeral. And then, 4 months later, their first great-grandchild was born in Iowa City, a little boy. And then about a year and a half after that, their second great-grandchild was born, also in Iowa City, a little girl. And then they had a great-grandson born in Chicago, and another great-granddaughter born in Iowa City. And then two more great-granddaughters joined our family. And then there is always an and then in life. We know that there's always an and then. As an Easter people, we know that death never has the last word. Mary went to the tomb very early on Sunday morning while it was still dark. And in the shadows of the darkness, Mary saw that the great stone that had sealed the tomb had been rolled away. And then she ran back to the disciples and she told them that the grave was open and that someone must have taken the body. And then two disciples, Peter and the disciple whom Jesus loved, raced to the tomb. The other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, got there first, for he was faster than Peter. He did not look into the tomb, but impetuous Peter, when he arrived, out of breath, ran straight into the tomb. And there he saw the grave clothes that had shrouded Jesus laying in a heap. And he saw the cloth that had been over his face rolled up and set aside. And then the first disciple who arrived at the tomb went in, and he believed. And then they went home, trying to make sense out of what it all meant. And then we hear that Mary Magdalene was outside the tomb. Stooping down, she peered in and she saw two angels in white, one sitting where Jesus had laid, one at the foot and one at the feet. And they said to her, "Why are you crying, woman?" And then she sensed a presence behind her. Thinking it was a gardener, she turned and said, "Where have you put him? If you tell me, I will go and get him." But this stranger, this mistaken gardener, spoke her name, Mary. And immediately she recognized him, Rabboni, teacher, Jesus. And the resurrected Lord, the risen Lord, told Mary not to try to hold on to him because he had not yet ascended. But he told her to go back to the disciples and to tell them that he is ascending to his God and their God, his Father and their Father. And then Mary ran back to where the disciples were gathered, and she said breathlessly, "I have seen the risen Lord." And then, that evening, as the disciples sat huddled in an upper room with the doors and the windows closed because they were afraid of the enemies of Jesus, he appeared again. "Peace I give to you," he said. And then he blew upon them. He breathed upon them. He gave them the Holy Spirit. This is John's Pentecost moment. And then the disciples told Thomas, who was not with them, also a disciple. Thomas is the one that when Jesus set his face to Jerusalem for the last time, and when the other disciples were trying to dissuade him from going there because people were out to kill him, Thomas, among all the disciples, was the one that said, "Let us go with Jesus so that we too might die with him." And when Jesus heard the news that the disciples told, he said that he would not believe it until he touched the marks on his hand and put his hand in Jesus' side. And then, the next Sunday, when Thomas was with them, Jesus appeared again. And then this time he spoke to Thomas. And he said, put your hand in the marks of my hand and put your hand in my side. And then Thomas said, I believe. And then several weeks later, while they were out fishing, they'd returned to their nets, they'd returned to their old way of life. They saw a stranger on a shore who called out to them in the early morning hours, asking if they had any fish. And when they said they did not, the stranger suggested that they cast their nets on the other side of the boat. And when they did, the nets immediately filled with a great school of fish. And then one of the disciples in the boat said to Peter, I think that is the Lord. And then Peter jumped into the water and swam ashore while the disciples brought the fish in. And then they saw that Jesus had already prepared a meal on the beach for them. And then Jesus turned to Peter and asked him three times, do you love me? Each time Peter said that he did. The third time Peter was deeply grieved. And each time Peter said that he did love him, Jesus gave him a command, feed my sheep, tend my lambs, tend my sheep. And then the Easter story is not finished here. It's not finished in the Gospel of John. It's not finished in this sanctuary. It is not finished on any Easter Sunday, because there is always an and then. And those of us who call ourselves followers of Jesus, those of us who identify ourselves as Easter people, are charged to carry on the work of Christ, because we collectively are the body of Christ and individually we are members of Him. We are called to feed God's sheep. We are called to care for God's lambs. We are called to tend God's lambs. The Church of Jesus Christ is the best hope of the world. For only the Church of Jesus Christ claims to be the very embodiment of the risen Lord here on earth. Your an end, and then, is the decisions you make in your own life. The lives that you touch, the difference that you make, the lives that you change, the children that you feed, the naked that you clothe, the lonely and the sick that you visit, the funerals that you attend, the weddings that you celebrate, the jobs that you hold, the gifts and offerings that you give, those are your and thens. Make them God glorifying. Amen.